God has been so good to us this morning, and it's amazing to be here to see the Spirit of God move. And so I want you to bow your heads and let's just pray together. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your goodness and for your grace. I thank you, Lord, for your goodness, Lord, to this church this morning, for ministering to the families that are here, God, for blessing them, Lord, with your presence. God, how thankful we are, God, to enter into your gates with thanksgiving, God, with our hearts filled with joy and praise. For the lives that you're changing here today, Lord, it's been amazing to be in the house of God, to see young people getting saved and being baptized, people being saved this morning at the altar, marriages and lives coming together for your honor and for your glory. God, we thank you for it. And God, we ask you, Lord, to continue to bless and use our church greatly to change people's lives one verse at a time. Help us to take the Word of God and apply it to their heart and their life. God, to help them, Lord, to have a meaningful spiritual life fulfilled with the presence of God. And we will thank you and give you praise and honor and glory for all things in Jesus' name. And all God's people can say, amen. Where is Joe? Raise your hand, Joe, just one second. Joe is one of our military men. He is back, and I want you to make him welcome. He's here in our service today, and we are so glad that he is here. And they contacted us through our Grow Ministry, and me and somebody else that went over there to pray with the family and to meet them, and he contacted me through an email. We're glad that they're here today. Thank you for serving our country, and thank you for being here today and serving the Lord. I want you to turn your Bibles to Psalms chapter 100 and verses 1 to verse number 5 this morning, and I simply want to title this sermon, A Song for Thanksgiving. A song of thanksgiving. And boy, we've heard some wonderful singing today, amen. I'm just absolutely blown away at their family. I think it's so awesome to see a dad with his kids up there singing like that. And they're awesome. I mean, you won't go anywhere and find any better singing and harmony than that. They have a CD out there, I believe, and you need to go purchase every single one of them. You're better off to listen to that than Achy Breaky Heart in your car, amen? And grab you one of those, it'll be good for your soul. Psalms chapter 100, verses 1 to verse number 5. The Bible says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Well, we did that this morning, amen. Verse number 3, know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. Today I'm going to talk about this psalm here, Psalm 100, and we're going to call it a song of thanksgiving. With Thanksgiving right around the corner, approaching us quickly next Thursday, I believe all of us ought to be truly thankful for what God has given us. I'm thankful this morning. I'm thankful this morning just to stand here in the presence of God. To see people coming to know the Lord and lives being changed, and just to have a church where we can come together and pray, where it doesn't matter who you are, what your education is, what your status in life is, you can humble yourself here to see people gather around praying for one another. Boy, that moves my heart. And I am so thankful to be the pastor of a church where people just love to come together and pray. And so this song today is a song of thanksgiving, where we as the people of God ought to be thankful for what the Lord is doing in our heart and in our life. And so I want to pray one more time, and I'm going to let you be seated. You can be seated, and I'll pray. And as you pray, I want you just to offer up a song of thanksgiving to the Lord. Just bow your head for a moment and just say, Lord, thank you for my family, for my marriage, whatever God has given you. Just bow your head for a few moments and thank him. Father, we are truly thankful, Lord, to enter, Lord, into your gates with praise and thanksgiving. And Lord, how overwhelming it is to me, Lord, to see your people in the presence of God praying, Lord, and lives being changed. Oh, the power of the gospel, the power of prayer, the power of the Spirit of God moving in the life of the church. And so, Father, I pray that you would help us, God, to do what you've called us to do. God, that you would help us, Lord, to be truly thankful, Lord, in the midst of all circumstances, in every situation. God, you call us, Lord, to be thankful. God, I pray that you would help us to look to you today, God, and to praise you for who you are, for what you have done and what you're going to do. That you tell us, Lord, that in everything, give thanks. We know, Lord, we're not to give thanks for everything that happens, but in everything, God, in every circumstance, in every situation, God, we can stand and be people who are truly thankful. So I pray that you would use this message today to change the lives that are here, and we will thank you for it. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. On Thanksgiving Day, we carry out a tradition this coming Thursday that's probably as old as America. As a matter of fact, the original Thanksgiving Day of the Pilgrims was instituted by Governor William Bradford. It was issued on the first harvest in Plymouth, the Plymouth Colony, in 1621. That's a very long heritage. 1621, they gathered together there in Plymouth and they gave thanks unto God. It would be years later in 1789 that President George Washington proclaimed November 26th, a national day of thanksgiving, listen, unto the Lord. It would be later in 1863 that President Abraham Lincoln revived that tradition of giving thanks to the Lord. And finally in 1941, the United States Congress decreed that the fourth Thursday in November to be a national day of thanksgiving. When you trace back to the holiday of how the holiday came about, you'll find that each one of these was the intent of giving thanks unto the Lord. And I believe this. We don't have to have the government or a president or a national holiday to give thanks. It should never be said of any believer that is here, and no Christian in here should ever be found guilty of not giving thanks to the Lord. For us, Thanksgiving is not just a holiday. For us, Thanksgiving is a lifestyle. It is where you and I give thanks unto God for our ministry, for our marriage, for our membership here. No matter what it is, we are to give thanks unto the Lord. So it's not just a holiday to us. It is something that, it's a lifestyle that Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and every Sunday, we are to give thanks unto the Lord. I was reading an old hymn this past week. It's called We Gather Together. Matter of fact, this old Dutch hymn was from the 17th century, and it really illustrates how we are to be thankful. You got to know some history behind the hymn to understand it. It was an old Dutch hymn in the 17th century, and the Dutch was celebrating their victory over Spain. Spain was trying to bring them, the overlords were trying to take away their freedom, both politically and religiously, and they fought back and they overcame the Spaniards, and they were free from the political restraints and also from the religious restraints set down by the Catholic Church. And so this hymn was brought together called We Are Gathered Together, and it really sums up what Thanksgiving is all about. It's an old hymn. Listen to the words. We gather together to ask the Lord's blessings. He chastens and hastens his will to make known. The wicked oppressing now cease from distressing. Singing praises to his name, he forgets not his own. Beside us, to aid us, our God with us joining, ordaining, maintaining his kingdom divine. So from the beginning, the fight we were winning. Thou, Lord, wast on our side. All glory be thine. We do extol thee, thou leader triumphant, and pray that thou still our defender wilt be. Let thy congregation escape tribulation. Thy name be ever praised. O Lord, make us free. If there's anything that we can be thankful for today, it is the freedom that we enjoy in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. God has set us free. God has given you and I victory. But what's interesting is not only does the Christian can be thankful for their freedom, you and I can also be thankful for our future. I thank God that he set me free. I thank God that he's washed me in the blood of the Lamb. I'm thankful that I am free today, but not only do I thank God for freedom, I also thank God for my future. And Psalms chapter 100 is a song of thanksgiving where the writer is looking toward the millennial reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, we believe that the millennial reign is an event that will be yet future. One day God will rapture his church And when God raptures his church, the world will go through a 7-year tribulation period. At the end of that 7-year tribulation period, the Lord Jesus Christ will mount upon a white stallion. Those who have been, that's been raptured by God, we will mount upon a white stallion with him. We will ride from the third heaven into the second heaven, into the first heaven, and the Lord Jesus Christ himself will set up a 1,000-year reign that Bible theologians and the Bible calls the millennial reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, but I'm excited about that moment. Can you say amen? And the writer in Psalms chapter 100, he looks forward into the future and he sees this millennial reign of Christ, where the knowledge of the Lord shall cover the earth as waters cover the sea. Where the Bible teaches that God's praises will fill the entire earth, where a lion will lay down with a lamb. All these things the writer looks forward to, God's ruling and reigning upon the world. Now, while these things are yet future, the application for the Psalm of Thanksgiving can still be seen. Notice at the very top of the Psalm, when you in your Bible, you'll notice that the very top of it, right under Psalms 100, you have in your Bible a Psalm of praise. This is a psalm of praise. The writer is focusing upon God, and as he focuses upon God, his heart becomes filled with praise. He begins to thank God. He begins to love God more. He begins to focus on not only his freedom, but he focuses on his future. But you and I have to ask the question, what caused the psalmist to praise the Lord? What causes us this morning to praise the Lord? What causes a great group of people like this to get up on a Sunday morning, to get their family together, to get dressed and come this way, put on your Sunday best, so to speak, and come here and to praise the Lord? What causes a group of people to do that? Why do you praise him? What is the reason for your praise? Why are you thankful? Well, the psalmist, he gives us the answer. And he gives us the answer in this beautiful psalm, what I'm going to call a song of thanksgiving. And he shows us in this song of thanksgiving, he shows us the wonderful melody that can ring true in everybody's heart. I believe that there's this song that resides in the heart of every believer. There's a melody that's always there on the inside, causing us to give us that victory and that freedom and that spontaneity that we all enjoy in the presence of the Lord. Well, the writer gives you and I the melody within Psalms 100 verses 1 to 5. I'm going to break it down in 3 stanzas and you follow along with me. First of all, you and I can have that melody in our heart and it becomes alive in us when we enter into his presence. When we enter into his presence, there's something about entering into the presence of God that causes that song in the heart to begin to make its melody. The Bible tells us in verse number 1, it says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye land. Verse 1, the Psalms opens up right away, and he's giving a call to worship, and he's calling us to praise the Lord. And he teaches us how to come into God's presence. He says, when you come into God's presence, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Now, consequently, the believers that are here, those of you that are saved, nothing brings us into the presence of the Lord like singing and calling upon God in prayer. Nothing brings us more into the presence of God when I stop and I focus on him. When I enter into his presence and I make this joyful noise, whether it be through singing, whether it be through my prayers, that I make this offering up to God by lifting up my voice unto him, I enter into God's presence. And when I do, the Bible says the psalm, this melody begins to work in my heart. Notice what the Bible teaches in Psalms 22, verse 3. But thou art holy, O thou, listen to this, that inhabits the praise of Israel. That word inhabits a very unique word. The psalmist sees God so close to him in praise that he uses the word inhabit, and he gives us the word picture that God lives within our praise. When you and I begin to praise the Lord and we sing like these folks have sung this morning, and as our choir sings, and as you begin to pray like you prayed this morning, God lives within that praise. The Bible says God inhabits our praise. You say, Brother David, how close is God? God is so close that when you begin to sing to Him, He inhabits the very melody and the very rhythm and the rhyme. God is in the midst of that song. God is so close that when you pray and you utter your voice up to God, that God is within the breath and the very words that you utter. God inhabits the praise of His people. Oh, friend, do you want God to be close? Then praise Him. Do you want God to draw near? Then praise Him. Do you want the presence of God to come upon you, then praise Him. Can you say amen? The question arises this: how do I express that praise? All the Bible says is to make a joyful noise. What type of noise? Well, I believe there's at least three expressions of praise that brings us into the presence of God. Number one, first we enter His praise or His presence with shouting. Now, we heard a little bit of that here this morning. Amen. Now, shouting may be a mysterious thing to you, but for those of us who's been around it for a long time, we thoroughly enjoy it. Can you say amen? I don't like being a part of a church that's so dead, where the pastor's like a 6-foot icicle standing behind the sacred desk of God, where everybody's been baptized in vinegar juice, and I don't like it. We say, well, we need to be dignified when we're in church, you know. It's important for us, you know, to be dignified. And I like it when the ladies cry so much, all that black makeup just comes down here, huh? I like it when they shout so much their hair looks like a factory of a wool explosion. Boom, it's just everywhere, you know. All the hairspray's gone, all the makeup's gone. I like to see grown men cry. Amen. I think it's good to see a dad grab his family by the hand and pray with them. I think it's good. And sometimes when people are praying and sometimes people get excited, they begin to shout. Sounds something like this. Woo! Can you say amen, huh? Now, I was at the Turkey Bowl yesterday with our youth group. And by the way, they won the Turkey Bowl. They are a bunch of turkeys, all right? They did a great job. They beat up on every church in the area. I guess that's biblical, I guess. I don't know. But they played a football game. Yesterday, we're out there, and we're screaming and hollering. We'd score a touchdown. We're like, woo, yeah, high-fiving people. Our boys would jump up in the air and, you know, slam their bodies up against one another. Boy, I'd like to see that happen in church, huh? Me and Brother Michael just run down there and slam our bodies right up against one another. Well, they were having a big time. They were rejoicing. They were making a joyful noise. Now, I don't know if their noise was considered spiritual, but it was a lot of fun. In the house of God, there's times that the people of God rejoice, and it's a shout. Whether that's a holler or a scream, a yippee-yay, whether it's a yabba-dabba-doo, whatever it may be, if it's in the presence of the Lord, it's going to be all right. Can you say amen? You say, well, Brother David, what do you mean by this thing, shout and making a joyful noise? Well, the phrase comes from a Hebrew word, make a joyful noise. It literally is one word which means to shout. According to one source, he says, in the context, this can refer to a blowing of an instrument like a trumpet to signal the start of a battle. It refers to a verbal shout for joy of worship. In some contexts, a shout of sorrow or anxiety. Whatever it may be, the sounding of an instrument or the lifting up of your voice. The Bible says we are to shout. That is, it's all right for you to say amen. I remember the very first time ever that I said amen in church. And I was being mentored by this guy. Me and my brother was in a singing group. And I was probably 18 years old and 17 years old in this gospel group. And Tony was a big guy. Tony's about 400 pounds. And he sat by us. I mean, he was huge. And he sat by us and he would get happy and he would slap me on the leg, you know. He would just like, ha, 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 bam, and slap us right on the leg, you know. Well, really, that caused my very first shout in church, by the way. I still bear the mark of my body, too, by the way. But he'd slap us on the leg or he'd hit me and my brother on the back. But he always used to say amen. And I really looked up to Tony. I just thought he was the neatest guy in the world. He loved the Lord. And I remember sitting at church one time, and it just came out. I said, amen. The preacher had said something. I was a young guy, and I said, amen. Well, at that moment, I thought every eyeball was looking at me. I thought everybody in the room was staring at me. But you know what I found out? Nobody was. But you know who was staring at me? The Lord. And I was saying, Lord, I agree. Amen. That's good preaching. Amen. Praise your holy name. And I remember saying it for the very first time, and it felt like, it was like a burden was lifted off of me. Something on the inside of me wanted to say something. I said, amen. And I've heard people say, praise the Lord. That's right. Whatever you say, say it unto the Lord and not unto men. I'm not talking about a bunch of charismatic verbal gibberish either. I'm talking about saying something in the right mind, in the right spirit, in the right context of praising the holy name of God. Can you say amen? It is a shout. It's something with our voice. It may be the instrument with the piano plays, and Derek loves to hit the cymbals. It's a shout unto the Lord that victory is in sight, whatever it may be. Psalms chapter 47 verse 1 declares, shout to the Lord with a voice of joy. 2 Chronicles chapter 20 verse 19 speaks of praising the Lord with a very loud voice. Ezra chapter 3, the people shouted for joy when they praised the Lord. Nehemiah chapter 9 verse 4, the Levites crying to the Lord with a loud voice. In 2 Chronicles 15, they made an oath to the Lord with shouting. So it's evident in the Bible, whether an instrument or with the voice, the Bible says this melody begins to work up in my heart when I enter into his presence and I express that by this verbal praise. Not only do we see we can enter his presence with shouting, but notice this. Secondly, we can enter his presence with service. The Bible says, verse 1, make a joyful noise of the Lord. But verse number 2 says, serve the Lord with gladness. Serve the Lord with gladness. Now, this is an awesome verse. The Bible says, serve the Lord with gladness. Can I tell you that the Bible never teaches that the work of the Lord ought to be a burden to us or ought to be a job? If it's become a job to you, shame on you. It shouldn't be a job. It ought to be a joy. Can you say amen? And so you ask the Lord, God, lift this burden from me. Lord, I don't want the task of the things doing that I'm doing for God to be a burden. The New Testament says it this way, and let us not be weary in well-doing. Don't get burned out. Don't give up. Don't give out. Listen, don't give in. Don't give in to the pressures of the world. Don't give in to the culture. He says, let us not be weary in well-doing. Watch this, for in due season we shall reap. Listen, if we faint not, don't you give up. You keep running for God. You keep going for God. You don't throw in the towel. You don't succumb to the devil. You don't succumb to the culture. You submit to Christ and Christ alone. Can you say amen? And you'll find all of a sudden, there's gladness in what you do. I can say that ministry and serving the Lord sometimes is tough. Sometimes you're in the frying pan. Sometimes it's not popular. When you stand for God, you'll find out you're counter against the culture. The culture don't agree with you. The culture comes up against you. Our community wants to come up against it. You know, we've seen that with the beer and liquor and wine thing here just a few weeks ago. There was folks that was mad that thing was voted down. Well, fooey on them. Can you say amen? I'm glad God's people spoke up and spoke out. Listen, we'd have more laws changed in America today if God's people, the mighty armory of God, would stand up with the bloodstained banner and the Spirit of God in their heart and their life and have some conviction about who they are and not succumb to the culture and speak out according to the Word of God. We would change some things in America. Can you say amen? Well, that's another message for another day. Notice what the Bible says. Serve the Lord with gladness. Now, here's what's interesting. See that word gladness? That word gladness literally means mirth or joy. And so the writer is saying this, that we are to look upon our service to the Lord as a cause for rejoicing. When you are engaged in the service of the Lord, you are to look at that as a cause for rejoicing. Why do I rejoice? Because I'm serving the Lord. His service is bringing joy. His service is taking away the burdens of my life. His service is helping me. It's a privilege to serve the Lord. Can you say amen? So the Bible teaches us the song of thanksgiving. We enter into his presence. And how do I express that, Pastor? By entering his presence with shouting, by entering his presence with service, and also by entering his presence with singing. It's interesting that Dr. David Jeremiah, who's one of my favorite authors, Dr. David Jeremiah wrote this. He said, believing in the imminent return of Jesus is not simply a matter of waiting. As important as that may be, listen, it is rather a matter of working. Working hard, working faithfully, working in the power and the joy and the filling of the Holy Spirit. Yes, we are to wait, but Jesus said, occupy until I come. That is, in the service of the Lord, I can find gladness in His presence. In the service of the Lord, I'm not only waiting for His return, I am to be found working, working hard, working faithfully, working in power, with joy, with the presence of the Spirit of God in my heart and in my life. Can you say amen? You see, that's an expression. Not only that, but thirdly, we're to enter His presence, as I said, with singing. Look at verse 2. Verse 2 says, come before His presence with singing. That is, offering our voice and song is probably one of the greatest ways that you can actually worship the Lord. You know what's unique about singing? Is that singing not only aids us in our worship of God, and it's awesome. You know, when these guys were up here singing today, you've seen, it seems like the Spirit just is like a, it's like a blanket that comes over everybody. It's like a wave that washes over the audience. People start coming forward because we're entering into the presence of God. And when you're saved, you can't help but to worship God when God's presence is near. Can you say amen? God was here. And so singing does all sorts of things. But not only does it help me in my worship, listen to this. It not only helps us to worship, but it also enhances our witness. When David, earlier in his Psalms, in Psalm chapter number 40, he says this. He says, and He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Listen, many shall, what's the next two words? See it and fear and shall, what's the next word? Trust in the Lord. David said, God's put a new song in my mouth. Here's what's unique about the verse. Many shall see it. David not only had worshiping in mind, but he had witnessing in mind. Choir, listen to me. Every time you get up and sing a song in this church, not only are you aiding us and helping us in the worship of God, but your presence in the choir is a witness unto God. And the audience sees it on your face. The audience hears it in your voice. They see it in your expression. Well, if you get up there and you drag yourself up there because you've been watching, you know, late night television all night on Saturday, you've not gotten the proper rest and you're so tired because you've been glued to that God that's in all of our homes. You're watching David Letterman and all this and that late at night. You come in here unprepared to meet God. You've not given God your very best. You've not rest your body. You've not prepared yourself. And you're singing, I'll fly away like you're anchored to the ground. Shame on you. If you get up there and you sing unto the Lord. And if you're going to sing, I fly away, you sing it like you're already lifted up in the air. Can you say amen? You already feel your feet off the ground. You already hear the call of God. You already feel the anticipation. And you sing it in such a way that it becomes a witness to everybody else. There's something different about that person. Can you say amen? Boy, you can get any secular singer up here that you want to, and they may sound fantastic, but you get somebody who is under the anointing of the Spirit of God, and they may not be able to carry a tune in a bucket, but under the anointing of the Spirit of God in anticipation of the glorious coming, they can bring all of heaven down. Why? God inhabits the praise of His people. Can you say amen? He lives right in the midst of my vocal praise unto Him. So how do I enter in His presence? I enter His presence with shouting. I enter His presence with singing. And I enter His presence in serving. And when I do, the melody, the song of thanksgiving begins to play. Not only that, but secondly, not only is a song of thanksgiving heard when we enter into His presence, but also when we examine His person. When we examine the person of God, look at verse number 3. First, there's a word about His power in verse 3. The Bible says, know ye that the Lord, He is God. Listen, it is He that hath made us. I don't believe in evolution at all. Can you say amen? I've told you before, I don't believe we came from monkeys. Now, I've seen people that look like one and act like one, all right? But we did not come from monkeys, all right? You are a direct image of God. You're created in the likeness and the image of God. Now, what does it mean to be created in the likeness and the image of God? That is, God has placed within you consciousness, intellect, emotion, will. You can do something that other creatures can't. You can love on many different levels. As a matter of fact, a man and a woman can do something that only God can do, and that is make another human being in the act of marriage. Can you say amen? God has taken that man and that woman and placed them together where there's another human being that is made. You know, I was telling Brother Jimmy here a few weeks ago, you know, the Bible says that a man will leave his mother and father, cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. One flesh. You say, well, how is that possible? Spiritually speaking, it's possible on many different planes. A marriage is body to body, soul to soul, spirit to spirit. But when I look at my three children, I see them as one flesh. They have a little bit of me, and they have a little bit of Melissa. They have both of us in them. And when I look at my family, I see that how God has put us together in holy matrimony. And when I see my children walk and talk and grow and breathe, I see a miracle of God, that God takes two people and God makes one flesh, that I see me and I see her within my children. And those of you that have kids, when you see your children, you see a little bit of the dad and you see a little bit of the wife. I see that intelligent part of my kids and I see that stubborn part in them also. And I'll not tell you which side it came from, so I won't get in trouble. But I know. She's in the children's church room, I can say that. You see those things. You know her. Oh, no, she's here. Oh, man. Golly. Go back to the children's church room. Busted. Oh, man. Bless him, God. Deacons, please call 911 at this moment. That red light should be flashing and an emergency team is needed in the Welcome Center. You see a little bit of your kids, right? You're one flesh. The miracle of that takes place. It's God's divine power. You say, Brother David, how does that happen? Notice the text. The Bible says, know that the Lord, He is God. Listen, it is He that has made us. Dr. Norman Geisler speaks on man being created in God's image, and he argues this. The human person has reflective self-confidence, unique to itself. It has language with its grammatical rule-oriented structure. What is more, humans have religious consciousness and practices. Primates do not. All attempts to show physical similarities between primates and human beings as a basis for evolution overlooks the gigantic gulf between the animal kingdom and the human being created in the image and the likeness of God. Animals don't have a language. We have a language. And our language helps us to shout. Our language helps us to sing. Our language helps us to lift up our voice. Why? Because you were created in the image and the likeness of God. And God wants you to sing the song of thanksgiving. Can you say amen? When you examine his person, man, you've got to see the very power of God. Not only is there a word about his power, but there's a word about his purchase in verse 3. The psalmist says, we are his people. Aren't you glad that you're bought by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ? The devil doesn't own you. The world doesn't own you. You are owned by God. There is a word about his purchase. There's a word about his power. But notice verse 3, there's also a word about his provision. The Bible says we are the sheep of his pasture. That is God's protecting us. It's the oversight of the good shepherd, the great shepherd in the Bible. God sees all. God knows all. God sees exactly where you're at, and God knows exactly what you're going through. God gives us his provision. You say, Pastor, how do I sing the song of thanksgiving? I do it not only when I enter into his presence. And the song is not only heard when I examine his person. But last of all, that melody rings in my heart, not only when I enter his presence and I examine his person, but when we express his praise. Simply just coming together and praying to God. And let me tell you something about praise. I think praise ought to be expressed in at least three ways. Number one, I believe praise should be visible. Verse number 4 teaches us that. The Bible says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and in his courts with praise. It ought to be visible. That is, there's movement. Enter into his gates, the Bible says. It says, into his courts with praise. I believe that praise ought to be visible. And you say, well, how should it be visible? According to the Bible teaches there are several ways that praise was visible. One was by clapping their hands. Psalms chapter 47, verse 1. Oh, clap your hands, all ye people. Shout unto God with the voice of triumph. That's why we give the Lord a hand clap of praise. That's why we clap. It's a way that we rejoice unto the Lord, and we are expressing our visible praise. So it's all right to clap. Those of you that grew up in churches where they told you it's wrong to clap, no, they were wrong for teaching you that. It's an expression of your praise. You put your hands together and you clap, you sing and you rejoice. It's a visible expression of entering into his gates. Secondly, by lifting our hands. I've seen that this morning. There are folks with their hands lifted all over the house. The Bible says in Psalms 134, verse 2, lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. It's all right to do this. It's all right to clap your hand and to lift your hand in praise, to close your eyes and sing, and to lift up your hand unto God. It's a visible expression of your praise. But then there's a third one, and it's dancing. Now, I've never danced to the... Matter of fact, you don't want to see me dance. Here's the problem in the West. Dancing here is always sensual. Dancing in the Bible was always spiritual. Now, I'm not saying that King David was a break dancer, you know, and he could boot, scoot, and boogie. I'm not saying that at all. What I am saying is that 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 14 says, and David danced before the Lord with all his might. Whatever that entails, it was honoring unto God. It wasn't sensual in nature. It wasn't arousing in nature. The Bible says David danced before the Lord with all of his might, and David was girded with a linen ephod. David stood before the Lord and he began to dance, whatever that may be and whatever that entails. It was some type of movement in the presence of God and the presence of God alone there. Other people wanted to mock, other people wanted to scoff, but David's audience was one. He wasn't dancing with the DJ. He wasn't dancing with someone else. He was dancing with God. Can you say amen? And there's a spiritual sense where we dance with God. We are in step with him. We are in movement with God. It's a visible step of our praise. Can you say amen? Secondly, praise should not only be visible, but it ought to be vocal. We've already said that. It ought to be singing. It ought to be shouting. And praise should be, thirdly, volitional. That is, it ought to be an act of your own will. You shouldn't be coerced into worship. You shouldn't be forced into worship. The Bible calls it the sacrifice of praise in the book of Hebrews. That is, it's going to take some work and some sacrifice on your part. But no one's going to force you to worship. As a matter of fact, God's not going to reach down and twist your arm and cause you to worship. There's something on the inside, this longing in my heart, that moves me forward to the face and the very presence of God. It's a beautiful thing. The Bible calls it the worship of God. You see, friend, the Bible teaches us here, it's the song of thanksgiving. We are to come into his presence, not only by examining his person and his praises, but we are to enter into his presence. Let me close with this. You guys have been great. One evening there was a prayer meeting, and this older saint of God got up and said this. Said, oh Lord, we praise you. We will praise you with an instrument of 10 strings. Well, everybody thought, 10 strings? Well, what's that old lady talking about over there? 10 strings. She must have things mixed up. And she went on further to tell everybody, and everyone began to understand when she said this. We praise you with our two eyes by looking unto you. We praise you with our two ears by listening to you and listening to your voice. We praise you with our two hands by working in your service. We praise you with our two feet by walking in the way of your statutes. We praise you with our tongues by bearing testimony to your loving kindness. We worship you with our heart by loving only you. She ended it by saying, we thank you for this instrument. Lord, keep it in tune. Ladies and gentlemen, what God wants to do today is take the instrument of your body, and God wants to tune it up so it can stroke the melody of the instrument of praise in such a way that it brings thanksgiving unto God. Can you say amen? Let's give him a hand clap of praise. Amen. Amen. Father, we love you and we adore you. We thank you, God, for allowing us to visibly and vocally and volitionally come into your house, Lord, in free will, to offer up a sacrifice of praise unto you. I pray, God, in the remainder of this service that you would help us to enter into your gates with thanksgiving. Perhaps there's some folks that need to still do business with God. I pray, God, that your perfect will be done, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.